today's theme is simple. Agents are learning to think in parallel, but every new branch needs a security boundary. That sounds abstract until you put the day's stories next to one another. We have research on reasoning systems that can split work during inference, a security team turning CNCPLAY-ROOV review into a checklist-guided model workflow, provider warnings about indirect prompt injection, browser session credentials that try to bind trust to a device. A local inference benchmark that raises the question of where computation should live, and a Linux privilege escalation story where disclosure got messy fast.
The convergence matters more than any one headline. The briefing is not saying one new product changed everything. It is saying that agentic systems are becoming more capable, more connected, and harder to audit. More parallel reasoning can be useful. More tools and documents can be useful. But once an agent reads external content, calls tools, reviews code, or touches session state, the important question becomes authority. Who told the system to do something? What evidence did it use? And what boundary prevented hostile content from becoming an instruction?
So the agenda is a quick radar first, then we slow down. We'll hit 5 issue packages: adaptive parallel reasoning, checklist-driven C and C owner view review, indirect prompt injection, device-bound sessions plus local inference, and dirty frag on the Linux side. Then the deep dive is the control plane. What has to exist around agents if faster reasoning is going to be safer reasoning?
And I want to keep the skepticism visible from the start. Adaptive parallel reasoning is a strong architecture signal, not a finished deployment recipe. Checklist guided review is concrete, but it is not a replacement for tests, fuzzing, static analysis, or expert review. Provider security write-ups are useful, but they can still understate residual risk. Community local inference numbers can be practically interesting without being general benchmarks. Dirty frag is serious enough to track, while still being early enough that operators should watch distribution guidance rather than improvise from rumors.
Let's start with the first radar item because it sets up the whole episode. Bear published a landscape-style article on adaptive parallel reasoning. The core idea is that a reasoning system does not just spend more tokens in one line. It can decide when to break a task apart, how many parallel threads to run, and how to coordinate the results. What is the real update there?
The update is that inference time scaling is being framed less as think longer and more as organize work better while thinking. Ordinary inference time scaling gives the model more room to reason. Adaptive parallel reasoning asks whether the model or controller can decide during inference that the task should be decomposed. It might split a problem into subtasks, run branches concurrently, compare answers, and synthesize. For agent architecture, that matters because it pushes orchestration closer to the reasoning policy itself. The orchestrator stops being only a fixed prompt template and starts looking like a policy for when to delegate, reconcile, and stop.
That sounds attractive for multi-agent workflows, especially if the handwritten delegation layer is brittle, but the briefing is careful about confidence here.
It should be. The article is described as a landscape and perspective piece, not a neutral benchmark report. One author also co-led one of the discussed methods. That does not make it weak. It means we should read it as a direction of travel. The practical takeaway is not install this architecture tomorrow. It is start measuring agent systems by decomposition quality, coordination overhead, recoverability, and final accuracy. If parallel branches only create agreement among weak guesses, they can produce false confidence. If they burn many more tokens without improving decisions, they are not efficient. The gating question is whether the extra branches improve the decision in a way you can observe.
The second radar item is more concrete. Trail of Bits published solutions to C and CoPLU checklist challenges, with examples in a Linux ping-style sample and a Windows driver registry handler. They also point to a Claude skill that packages the checklist for code review. Why did that stand out?
Because it is the opposite of a vague review this code prompt. The checklist targets CNCNC Quest security review. The examples include Linux networking code and Windows driver registry handling. The post describes both the bug mechanics and the threat model implications. That is exactly the kind of bounded workflow where an LLM assistant can be useful. The expert knowledge is encoded as a scaffold, and the model searches within that scaffold. The value is not magic bug finding. The value is structured attention.
The article mentions an init-style global buffer gotcha, a missing Windows registry type checking flag, and a registry type confusion path. That is a lot of specific bug mechanics for a short radar item. What is the listener consequence?
Specificity is why it earns the slot. The point is not that every team should copy this exact skill and trust it blindly. The point is that checklist, grounded prompting, is operationally testable. You can take known, vulnerable code, run the checklist, guided workflow, see what it catches, see what it misses, and compare that to other review methods. It should augment tests, fuzzing, manual review, and compiler defenses. But it is much easier to evaluate than a general purpose code review agent that says impressive things without a clear expected inspection path.
Third radar item, indirect prompt injection. Google Security published a web threat overview, and Google Workspace described continuous mitigations for Gemini-connected workspace contexts. Give us the clean explainer before we go deeper later.
A normal malicious prompt comes from the user or someone pretending to be the user. Indirect prompt injection comes from data the AI system reads while doing its job, a web page, a document, an email, a calendar invite, a source code comment, a ticket, a PDF, or a chat transcript. The user might ask the agent to summarize a page or inspect a repository. Hidden inside that content is a hostile instruction addressed to the model. The user did not directly ask for the malicious action. The content stream tried to become a command channel.
And that is why workspace-style agents are exposed.
Exactly. They combine multiple data sources with model reasoning and tools. That combination is the product, but it is also the risk. Hubel's framing is that indirect prompt injection is not something you solve once and move on from. It requires continuous mitigation as applications, data sources, and adversarial tactics change. The briefing's translation is direct. Retrieved content should be treated as untrusted input. User intent should be separated from source text. Tool side effects should require confirmation. And the system should log why an action was allowed.
Fourth radar item is a paired one, device-bound sessions and local inference. At first glance, browser session credentials and a home lab benchmark are different stories. Why put them together?
Because both ask where trust should live. Google described device-bound session credentials becoming publicly available for Windows Chrome users and expanding toward macOS. The point is to combat session cookie theft by requiring a device-bound credential, rather than treating a stolen cookie as sufficient. Separately, a Level 1 Text user benchmarked a Quinn-class quantized model on two modified RTX 2080 Ti cards and reported useful concurrency and large KB cache behavior. That benchmark is community evidence, not a controlled vendor result. The pairing is useful, browser security is moving some trust toward device-bound proof, while local inference moves some AI workloads toward hardware the operator controls.
So the takeaway is not everything local and not trust the browser vendor completely.
Right. The practical takeaway is to choose where secrets, sessions, and inference state live. Device binding can reduce the usefulness of stolen cookies when the browser and platform are trusted. It can also increase dependence on browser and platform ecosystems, so recovery and portability remain visible concerns. Local inference can help when privacy, cost, or provider availability is the constraint, but one community benchmark on older modified GPUs should be replicated before it drives architecture. The common discipline is placement, put trust where trade-offs are explicit.
Fifth radar item, dirty frag. LWN reported on a local privilege escalation vulnerability described as similar to copy fail. The report says the embargo was broken, exploit code was released, and no patch or CVE existed at the time of reporting. How should Linux operators hear that?
As a watchlist item with real potential impact and incomplete resolution, a local privilege escalation can turn a foothold in a user account, a weak service boundary, or a container escape path into root. The briefing says dirty frag is described as allowing local root escalation and similar to copy fail, but it also stresses the early state. Disclosure was not coordinated to completion, exploit code was out, and patch or CVE status was unresolved. That means watch distribution advisories. Reduce local attack surface where possible, and do not run random mitigation scripts from secondary summaries without validating upstream and distribution guidance.
That completes the radar. Now let's bridge it. We have a research story about systems that can split reasoning work, a concrete code review workflow that constrains an LLM with a specialist checklist, an agent security story about hostile content, an infrastructure story about device-bound trust and local compute, and a Linux story about privilege escalation and disclosure. What is the synthesis?
The synthesis is that agent capability is not the product by itself. The control plane is the product. If an agent can spawn workers, read documents, inspect code, remember context, call tools, and act across a browser or workspace, then the system around the model decides whether that power is useful or dangerous. The control plane decides what sources are trusted, when to spawn workers, what each worker can read, which tools each worker can call, what gets logged, what requires confirmation, and what gets retried or blocked. The question is not only can agents become faster, it is can the system prove that faster reasoning stayed inside the right boundaries?
Let's make that the deep dive question. Adaptive parallel reasoning is becoming an agent architecture question, not just a benchmark trick. What should we believe, and where does the evidence stop?
We should believe that the direction is meaningful. The Beer piece asks what happens if a reasoning model can decide for itself when to decompose work and how many concurrent threads to spawn. It places that question inside the broader wave of inference, time scaling, where recent gains come not only from model and data scaling but also from spending computation at inference time. That is a real architecture shift. Where the evidence stops is important. This is a landscape and perspective article. It does not settle which implementation should win, how much overhead is acceptable, or how production systems should audit every branch.
Start with the mechanics. When we say adaptive parallel reasoning, what are we not saying?
We are not just saying run several prompts at once. The adaptive part matters. A fixed workflow can always say send task A to worker 1, task B to worker 2, then combine. Adaptive parallel reasoning is about dynamic decomposition and coordination during inference. The system has to decide whether the task needs branching. If it branches, it has to decide how many branches are worth running. Then it has to coordinate the outputs. Coordination includes comparing partial answers, resolving conflicts, deciding when enough evidence has accumulated, and producing a final answer that can be explained.
That sounds close to what agent frameworks already try to do with routers, planners, and worker agents.
It is adjacent, and that is why it matters. Many agent systems today use explicit orchestration outside the model, a planner step, a tool choice step, a reviewer step, maybe a retry loop. The briefing's architecture question is whether orchestration should live outside the model, inside the model's reasoning policy, or as a hybrid. If the reasoning model becomes better at deciding when to split work, external orchestration might become less handwritten. But you still need the external system to enforce permissions, log decisions, manage cost, and decide what evidence is acceptable.
So a more capable reasoning layer does not remove the control plane. It raises the bar for the control plane.
Exactly. A single agent transcript is already hard enough to audit after a bad answer. A dynamically parallel reasoning run is harder because the answer path is no longer a single linear chain. Production agents would need branch-level evidence and clear final synthesis. You would want to know which branches existed, what each branch could read, which tools were available, where branches disagreed, why the final synthesis favored one path, and whether the extra work actually improved the decision. Without that observability, parallel reasoning can feel impressive while making failure attribution worse.
Let's pressure test the benefit. What is the best case for adaptive parallel reasoning and practical agent workflows?
The best case is that it reduces brittle handwritten delegation. If the system recognizes separable parts, it can allocate attention more intelligently. A code review workflow might inspect different risk classes under a checklist. A research workflow might compare sources while keeping user intent distinct from retrieved content. A planning workflow might test alternatives before choosing. The model or controller could spend more computation where uncertainty is high and avoid branching where the task is simple. In that best case, parallelism is not just speed. It is better decomposition.
And the skeptical case?
The skeptical case is that parallelism becomes a token, burning confidence machine. If many weak branches make the same unsupported assumption, agreement does not make the answer true. If the system cannot show that extra branches change the outcome, the cost is hard to justify. If branches share contaminated context, they may not be independent. If coordination is poor, the final synthesis may smooth over real disagreement. And that is why the briefing's gating question is precise, not can it spawn threads, but can it prove that the extra branches improve the decision?
That word prove can sound too strong for messy production systems. What would count as a practical proof here, staying within the briefing's frame?
Observable, replayable traces are the practical version. The watch next list asks whether adaptive parallel reasoning produces traces that can be audited after a bad answer. That does not require perfect formal proof. It means the system records enough about decomposition, branch behavior, coordination, and synthesis that an operator can reconstruct what happened. If a branch used retrieved content, was that content treated as untrusted? If a branch proposed a tool call, what trusted instruction authorized it? If the final answer relied on consensus, were the branches actually diverse, or did they repeat the same weak assumption? Those are audit questions.
This is where Trail of Bits becomes more than a separate radar story. Their checklist-driven workflow seems like a concrete pattern for making agent work auditable.
Yes, because a checklist gives the agent a bounded frame. In the C and C++ review example, the model is not asked to be an all-purpose security oracle. It is pointed at specific review concerns from memory, unsafe and systems code, with examples that include Linux networking and Windows driver registry handling. The expected checks are explicit enough that you can evaluate misses and false positives. That is a model for control plane design, constrain the task, record what was checked, and require verification before promotion. The agent can assist, but authority remains limited.
The briefing says capability should earn authority. Unpack that in this context.
It means a system can reason broadly without being allowed to act broadly. An agent might be allowed to read a web page and summarize it, but not obey instructions embedded in it. A code review agent might identify suspicious patterns, but not merge a patch without tests and review gates. A browser session credential can become more resistant to theft by being device-bound, but that does not mean every recovery and portability trade-off disappears. A local model can handle private or cost-sensitive work, but benchmark claims still need replication. Capability is what the system can think through. Authority is what the system is allowed to do.
Let's bring indirect prompt injection into the deep dive properly. Why is it different from the traditional jailbreak story?
The traditional jailbreak story imagines a user typing a malicious instruction into the chat. Indirect prompt injection is different because the malicious instruction sits inside content the agent is supposed to process. The user may be acting in good faith. The agent reads a web page, email, document, calendar invite, source code comment, ticket, PDF, or chat transcript. Inside that material is text that tries to override the user's goal or the system's policy. The attacker is not necessarily interacting with the agent through the normal user channel. They are placing instructions where the agent's data pipeline will ingest them.
And when agents become more parallel, the exposure can spread across branches.
And that is the control plane concern. If multiple branches read different sources, each branch may encounter untrusted content. If a branch can call tools, the system has to know whether the tool action came from user intent or hostile source text. Workspace-style agents are exposed because they combine data sources, model reasoning, and tools. Parallelism can increase the number of content streams being processed at once. That does not mean parallel reasoning is bad. It means authority separation has to be first class before branches can safely act.
The briefing's explainer says good mitigations separate authority from text. What does that sound like in normal language?
It means the system should not treat all words as equal. User instructions, system policy, retrieve content, memory, and tool output should be kept in distinct lanes. The agent can summarize hostile content, quote it, or warn about it, but it should not merge hostile instructions into its own goals. If a tool call has side effects, the agent should have to explain which trusted instruction authorized it. A malicious string in a web page should not have the same authority as the user's request. That is the core distinction.
Google's workspace framing emphasizes continuous mitigation, not a one-time fix. Why is that important?
Because the attack surface changes as applications, data sources, and adversarial tactics change. An agent connected to documents today may be connected to mail, calendars, repositories, tickets, and browser actions tomorrow. Mitigations have to evolve with the product. The briefing names several layers: model resistance, application design, content isolation, policy, user visible controls, and confirmation flows. No single layer is enough. Provider mitigations are meaningful, but users and builders should still assume public web pages, email bodies, GitHub issues, PDFs, and chat transcripts can be hostile until proven otherwise.
So, agent security is not just model alignment. This is Interfix of this century of Shopperation in the entire two of the IBS.
Right. It is also data plane design, user interface design, permissioning, memory management, and operations. Prompt injection sits at the boundary between text and authority. The model is part of the system, but the product architecture decides what the model can see, remember, which tools it can call, and when the user must confirm. If the model becomes better at reasoning in parallel, those architectural choices matter more. More capability means more possible damage if authority is not constrained.
Let's talk about logging and replay, because that is easy to say and hard to do. The briefing says production agents need new logging and replay needs because the answer path is no longer a single linear chain. What would you want captured?
At minimum, the decomposition decision, branch boundaries, source access, tool availability, branch outputs, disagreements, and final synthesis rationale. If the agent spawned three branches, why three? What did each branch attempt? Which content did each branch read? Was any content untrusted? Did any branch request a tool action? Was the action allowed, blocked, or escalated for confirmation? When the branches returned, did the system simply average them, choose one, or synthesize a new answer? If a bad answer occurs, replay should show the path rather than only the polished final response.
That sounds like it could add overhead, both in engineering and in runtime.
It can. That is why coordination overhead is part of the measurement agenda. The briefing argues that agent systems should be measured by task decomposition quality, coordination overhead, and recoverability, not just final answer accuracy. A system that gets a benchmark answer right while becoming impossible to inspect may not be acceptable in production. A system that logs everything but burns too much cost may not be efficient. The architecture trade-off is real. Parallel reasoning has to earn its complexity.
How does device-bound session security fit into this control plane idea? It is not an agent reasoning technique.
It fits because it is another example of refusing to treat possession of a token as unlimited authority. DBSC targets session cookie theft by requiring a device-bound credential. A stolen cookie alone should not be sufficient if the session is bound to a device proof. That is a browser and account security control, not an agent-specific control. But philosophically, it rhymes with agent authority separation. Do not let copied text become an instruction. Do not let a stolen cookie become a session. Bind authority to the right context.
And local inference fits because it changes where the reasoning happens.
Yes, with caveats. The Level Untext benchmark is a community report on older modified GPUs, not a controlled vendor benchmark. The useful point is not that everyone should build the same setup. It is that home lab operators are reasoning about concurrency, VRAM, KV cache, privacy, and cost. Local inference can be attractive when provider privacy, cost, or availability is the constraint. But deployment decisions need reproducibility. The control plane question remains: which workloads belong locally, which belong in a provider environment, and how are secrets, sessions, and memory handled in either case?
The dirty frag story seems more traditional. A Linux local privilege escalation, exploit code out, no patch or CVE at the time of the report. Is there a connection beyond security is hard?
The connection is operational posture. Agent systems do not run in a vacuum. They run on browsers, desktops, servers, containers, kernels, and local machines. A local privilege escalation matters because it can turn a small foothold into root. If you are building or operating agents on Linux hosts, kernel and distribution advisories are part of the safety surface. The dirty frag item also reminds us that disclosure timelines can break. When exploit code appears before coordinated disclosure completes, the control plane is not only prompts and tools, it includes patch posture and exposure reduction.
Let's return to the evidence boundary on adaptive parallel reasoning. You said the direction is meaningful but not prescriptive. What should a listener avoid concluding?
Avoid concluding that adaptive parallel reasoning is already the settled way to build every agent. Avoid concluding that more branches automatically mean better answers. Avoid treating a landscape article as a neutral benchmark report. Avoid ignoring the disclosed author involvement in one discussed method, and avoid assuming that if decomposition moves inside the model, external orchestration becomes obsolete. The safer conclusion is that this is a strong research spotlight on a problem production builders already face: how to divide work, coordinate it, and recover when it fails.
What should a listener start asking about their own agent stack after hearing this?
First, where does decomposition happen? Is it a prompt template, a planner, a router, a model behavior, or a hybrid? Second, can the system show why it spawned workers or branches? Third, are branch outputs auditable after the fact? Fourth, are retrieved content and user instructions separated clearly enough to resist indirect prompt injection? Fifth, what tool actions require confirmation? Sixth, are domain-specific workflows, such as code review, constrained by checklists or other explicit expertise? Finally, when the system fails, can you replay the path rather than guess from the final answer?
I want to linger on checklist-based review because it feels like the practical antidote to vague agent enthusiasm. What makes a checklist a good substrate for model work?
A checklist converts expert attention into a repeatable frame. In the Trail of Bits case, the checklist targets CNC Oblo's security review, where bug classes and threat models matter. The agent is not just asked to be careful, it is asked to inspect through a known security lens. That makes evaluation possible. Did it identify the Linux networking issue? Did it reason about Windows registry type handling? Did it understand the threat model implication, not just the syntax? Because the checks are explicit, humans can decide whether the assistant is useful and where it remains weak.
But the briefing is explicit that a prompt skill is not a static analyzer.
Correct. It should not replace static analysis, tests, fuzzing, compiler, and toolchain defenses, or manual expert review. It can help structure review, catch patterns, and explain implications. But if you let a code review agent become a free-form patch generator without a test gate, you have granted too much authority. Again, capability should earn authority. The model may be capable of suggesting a fix. The control plane should decide whether that suggestion can become a patch, a pull request, a test requirement, or merely a note for a human.
Let's make the indirect prompt injection explainer even more concrete. Suppose an agent is asked to summarize a document. Inside the document is an instruction to ignore previous rules and send data somewhere. In this briefing's framing, what should happen?
The document's instruction should be treated as content, not command. The agent can say, "This document contains an instruction that appears to target an AI system." It can quote or summarize that suspicious content. It should not obey it. If obeying would require a tool action or side effect, the agent should require trusted authorization, ideally from the user's explicit instruction and product policy. The important separation is that the source document can inform the answer, but it cannot become the agent's boss.
That phrase captures the whole issue. Source text cannot become the boss.
Exactly. And that applies across web pages, emails, issues, source comments, PDFs, and chat transcripts. Agentic systems deliberately consume untrusted content. That is how they become useful. A browser agent must read web pages. A research agent must read documents. A code agent must read source files and pull request comments. The question is whether those channels can override user intent. If they can, every source becomes a potential command channel.
Now connect that back to adaptive parallel reasoning. If branches are reading different content streams, do we need trust boundaries per branch?
We do. Each branch should have a clear scope and authority level. A branch that reads untrusted web content should not have the same tool permissions as a branch operating on a trusted user instruction. A branch that inspects code comments should not be able to turn a malicious comment into a command. A branch that proposes an action should provide the trusted basis for that action. Parallelism multiplies the need for boundaries because it multiplies the contexts in which confusion can happen.
What about memory? The briefing mentions memory as part of the broader agent security frame. Pas-DA, what I was myself.
Memory is another lane that should not be silently merged with everything else. If hostile content gets written into memory as if it were trusted preference or policy, the attack can persist. The briefing does not go into implementation details, but its principle is clear. User instructions, system policy, retrieved content, memory, and tool outputs should be kept distinct. The agent should know not only what a piece of text says, but what authority class it belongs to.
We have talked a lot about agent builders. What is the practical watch posture for an operator or power user who is not designing a full framework?
Treat retrieved content as untrusted. Require confirmation for side effects. Prefer tools and agents that explain why an action is authorized. For code review, favorite checklist, guided workflows, and verify through tests, fuzzers, static analyzers, and human review. For browser sessions, understand where device-bound credentials help and where recovery or platform dependence matters. For local inference, replicate claims before major decisions. For Linux systems, watch distribution advisories and avoid unverified mitigation scripts.
Let's turn that into the watch next list, because this is where the thesis becomes an observation plan. First, do adaptive parallel reasoning systems produce observable, replayable traces that can be audited after a bad answer? Second, do agent frameworks add first-class trust boundary abstractions for retrieved content versus user intent? Those two would show whether the control plane lesson is being absorbed.
Those are the big ones. If branching and coordination cannot be replayed, production adoption should stay cautious. In Wikamaforos, if frameworks start labeling content lanes, restricting authority, requiring confirmation, and logging why tool calls are allowed, builders are less likely to improvise weak boundaries in every application. The audit trail is what turns parallel reasoning from a clever technique into an architecture component.
The rest of the watch list is more applied, whether the trail of bits checklist skill becomes a pattern for other domain-specific review skills, whether Linux distributions publish coordinated dirty frag guidance quickly enough for home lab operators to act safely, whether DBSC adoption creates compatibility or recovery friction, and whether the local Qwen class benchmark can be replicated on more common hardware or under a standard harness.
Each one changes confidence in a specific way. Domain checklists would make model-assisted review more valuable. Dirty frag guidance would turn an early vulnerability report into safer operator action. DBSC friction would show the trade-off between better session protection and device or platform dependence. Replication would determine whether the local inference result is a practical lead or just an interesting single setup.
If you had to reduce the whole deep dive to one operational rule, what would it be?
Give agents room to reason, but do not give text automatic authority. Parallel branches, retrieved documents, code comments, browser pages, memory entries, and tool outputs are not all the same kind of thing. The control plane should know the difference. It should decide what is trusted, what can act, what must be confirmed, what gets logged, and how failures are replayed. Faster reasoning is useful only if the system can explain and constrain it.
And if someone is excited about adaptive parallel reasoning specifically, what is the right posture?
Pack it closely, but ask for evidence in the right categories. Do not ask only whether final answers improve. Ask whether decomposition quality improves, whether coordination overhead is acceptable, whether branches add independent value, whether failures are recoverable, and whether the trace is auditable. Treat the bare article as a strong research signal and a useful architecture lens, not as a production prescription.
We started with a cold open about agents learning to think in parallel and every new branch needing a security boundary. After the radar and the deep dive, that feels less like a slogan and more like a design constraint.
That is the right landing point. The day's stories all point to the same stack-level discipline. Scale the reasoning, but harden the surfaces. Use checklists to make agent work concrete. Treat external content as untrusted. Bind sessions where that reduces theft. Keep local inference options alive without overgeneralizing from one benchmark. Watch Linux advisories when disclosure breaks. The theme is not fear of agents. It is refusal to confuse capability with permission.
So the close for today is this. The useful frontier is not just smarter agents. It is agents with a better control plane. If reasoning becomes more parallel, the system around it needs stronger boundaries, better logs, clearer authority, and more disciplined verification. That is what to watch next.
And the most practical question to carry forward is simple. After an agent acts, can you tell why it was allowed to act? If the answer is no, the control plane is not ready for more autonomy. If the answer is yes, parallel reasoning, checklist, guided review, device-bound trust, and local inference all become tools you can evaluate rather than slogans you have to believe.
That is the briefing for May 11th. The main story is the convergence, more parallel reasoning, more connected agents, and a bigger need for authority boundaries. Watch auditable traces, framework-level trust boundaries, checklist-driven review patterns, dirty frag guidance, DBSC rollout friction, and replication of the local inference benchmark. Let agents get more capable, but make authority explicit before capability turns into action.